Welcome to GG's Courtroom, brought to you by No Halftime. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show. I am the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Welcome to the show for Thursday, December 22nd, 2016. Very close to Christmas time. Christmas time is fantastic, not because it's an actual holiday. It's because there's like five, I think there's five NBA games this year. It's like one of my favorite days of the year to play DFS. It's an awesome all-day slate of DFS. So we have that to look forward to on Christmas as well this year. Thursday, I'm not going to lie to you guys. The judge does not lie. I speak the truth. It's not the best slate in the world on Thursday. For me, I mean, I play mostly GPPs anyway, but I'm going to go almost 100% tournaments on Thursday. I mean, I'll get to the games, the over-unders in a few minutes, but Golden State Brooklyn is like the big elephant in the room with a 232 over-under. I mean, Golden State's a 14-point favorite right now. That game, it's just, as you guys know, with Golden State this year, I mean, God only knows how to handle those, I mean, that whole team play and possible blowout scenarios. So the slate is tricky. And I would recommend play a little bit lighter. It's actually still an interesting slate. So I'm just gonna play a little bit lighter than I normally do, and I'm gonna go mostly tournaments. You guys can do what you want, but that is the judge's advice. Also, before we start the show, I just want to say, if you could please rate, review, and obviously subscribe to the podcast. Right, if you're listening, hopefully you're subscribed. But I do know a couple people that actually just like click the link whenever I tweet it out. Don't do that. Actually subscribe to the podcast. It is much better for the judge. And then just while you're listening to the judge ramble on, just go there, leave a little review, leave a little five-star rating. The judge would very much appreciate it. Hopefully we can get back in the rankings. I'm not going to lie. There's some crappy shows right now that are rated higher than the judge, and the judge is not pleased. The bailiff, who cares about the judge? The bailiff is very angry. I showed him like some of the shows that are ranked in like the top 150 on iTunes. And he started barking viciously. And French Bulldogs do not bark viciously. So if you please could do that, I greatly appreciate it. All right, let's talk Chambers for – oh, all right, let's go into – see, this is the problem, man. When I do this nice little show sheet, and sometimes I forget to look at it. But I looked at it and realized there's some things that I still wanted to mention. So I will mention them. Otherwise, why create a show sheet, right? If I'm not even going to look at the show sheet, why create it? By the way, it's like 3:30 in the morning, as you guys know, so cut me some slack. And, oh, also thank you to the guys, everyone on Twitter, for being nice and asking me if I'm feeling okay. I am feeling a lot better. I don't know what I had, man, if it was like a 24-hour, like, nasty flu, if it was just a bad cold, because I mean, right now I feel pretty good. But like yesterday, I was like on my deathbed. I couldn't move. So that was just a brutal day. And all because of the hot girl selling me the coat that was not warm enough. I'm positive that was what precipitated my whatever illness I had. And you know what I did today? I went back to that store. I saw the hot girl. And you know what I did? The judge brought her cupcakes. That's right. I brought the whole that entire store cupcakes. I did it because like normally I take the bailiff there on our walk, and it's one of our favorite stores because she lets him run around the whole entire store. He thinks it's like a dog park. I'm such an idiot. Yeah, I know. All right, so I also want to mention some premium services that the judge is starting to run. Also, I'm still debating getting my website up and running, dgcourtroomdfs.com, but time is the big issue there. But I am slowly starting to do some consultations with people over the phone, 30-minute consultations. I think they go pretty well. Everyone seems to find them very informative. It's just I think I've said this to you on numerous podcasts. The biggest mistake I see is people are running out the wrong lineups and they're entering the wrong tournaments and they're entering the wrong lineups in the wrong tournaments, or I should say the wrong contests. They're entering the wrong lineups in the wrong contests. So by doing the consultations, we can really dive deeper into kind of what your process is, what you're playing, you know, just a deep dive into your DFS strategy. So if you want to do that, let me know. I can't do a ton of them. I mean, I already have a waiting list to do them. But if you want to do that, just hit me up on Twitter at DanielAGreen1, and hopefully we can fit you in and help you improve. I mean, if you're really struggling and you think it's something like, you know, something in the process, not just, you know, I faded Westbrook on the wrong night, then that's something that maybe you want to consider. All right, let's talk Chambers on Wednesday. Wednesday was glorious. It was a fun night of basketball, man. In a couple of the single entry, you know, tournaments, I think in like the $50 one and the $100 one, I did really well. I did not enter my best lineup in Chambers, but that's, as you guys know, that just can happen sometimes. But it was a good night. I mean, I was on all the right guys. That's always a good sign. But I did not take down the Chambers. So I wanted to slam my Chambers door shut. Unfortunately, with my lineup I had in there, I did not. Matty Millions, with a score of 327, gets his third Chambers win of the year, his seventh cash. He is the number 5 ranked player in Chambers. Congrats to him. I remember when he was just this horrible player who I would make fun of behind his back, and now he's dominating Chambers. How did this happen? My boy Arze, good for him. I haven't seen his name in a while in Chambers, so good to see him back in there. Score of 328. That's his fourth cash of the year, second win. And a newbie, man. I've never heard of this guy. I don't know what the hell his username is. Masasi B. He put up a 341, the highest score of the night in Chamberland. It's his first cash of the year, first win. First time, I don't know if he's been in Chambers before. Go check out his lineup if you guys want. I'm not sure which chamber. There were three different chambers. I don't remember which one he was in. But he put up a 341. He played the only guy in Chamberland to play Ty Lawson. And Ty Lawson should now be on your radars going forward, because Darren Collison sucks. He sucked all year. He's been consistently mediocre all year. And slowly but surely, Coach Yeager is giving Lawson minutes. And today, Lawson got all the minutes in the fourth quarter, put up like 27 FanDuel points at 3.8K or whatever his price was. That was rock solid. And he looked really good. And so going forward, and Yeager was just praising him post game. So going forward, I could see Ty Lawson getting some extra minutes, which at that salary puts him in play going forward. Plus, Collison has sucked the entire year. It's been bizarre. All right, Dream Killers. There weren't a ton of Dream Killers. I mean, the problem was the Dream Lovers. You just needed to have a few different players. I mean, I think we were all on the right guys. So, obviously there were a few Dream Killers, though. Tyson Chandler, if you played him in that try, you tried your hardest. You said, I need to get exposure to this Phoenix Houston game. Let me play Tyson Chandler. You were chasing points, though, from back in the day when Alex Len wasn't playing. So he put up just an absolute dud. That was not the game for him in a fast paced game. So if you played him, the judge objects to that and scolds you. Kelly Oubre, it just didn't work out for him. You played Ricky Rubio. I mean, based on his salary, he did okay. But on a night like this, an eight-game slate, where you needed a really high score. I mean, first of all, the score in Chambers is getting out of hand. The score to cash in Chambers is like 10 points higher than it was to cash in the Slam, which is the $25 entry fee tournament on FanDuel. So Chambers was extra difficult on Wednesday. But Ricky Rubio just didn't get it done. That whole Atlanta-Minnesota game, it was infuriating, because the pace of that game, as I tweeted out, was the pace of a turtle. It was so dang slow. With Dennis Schroeder and Rubio, I don't know what they were smoking. I don't know if they hung out like the previous night, but they I mean, it was a disaster, all due to the pace. Jimmy Butler, I mean, the problem, he did okay. The problem, he's a dream killer, because Gordon Hayward, again, was the right play over Butler. So if you played Butler instead of Gordon Hayward, you know, you lost out. And Butler stinks because every team doesn't guard Rondo, so the Bulls play 4-on-5 on both ends of the court, especially offensively. So, Butler, it's tough. Defenses can just totally just pack the paint and make it tough on him, and tough on D-Wade, quite honestly. If you played DeMarcus Cousins, yeah, you failed. You do not test Rudy Gobert. Even DeMarcus Cousins, I mean, even though Sacramento I think they beat Utah, and a really nice win for them. But still, Cousins, I mean, yeah, Gobert's a monster. If you tried to play some French fries, you wanted to go fast food, hop in and play Channing Frye, you were sorely, you know, you ended up not happy with that. I think he had like 9 or 10 FanDuel points with Kevin Love out. if you played Robin Lopez, man, just 14 FanDuel points with him. I mean, Taj Gibson basically was elbowing Robin Lopez out of the way. Robin Lopez couldn't do a thing. If you played Dennis Schroeder, I mean, he was okay. But the problem was that game was, you know, due to the pace. And he was like the same price as like Kyrie. And just so if you played Schroeder, you probably didn't have a great night. And Zach LaVine, another guy, he did okay. But just because of the pace of that game, it wasn't spectacular. It may have been good enough to cash, but you weren't taking home thousands. You weren't winning a tournament if you played him, especially because if you played Devin Booker was the guy to play and not LaVine. Dream Lovers, mentioned Ty Lawson. Marc Gasol, he was 0.8% owned in the Slam. I had one lineup with Marc Gasol, not in the Slam. But he put up like 55 FanDuel points. No one wanted to touch that game. You know, you can attack DeMarcus Cousins on the defensive end. So Gasol was an interesting play. And he came through. Kyrie Irving went bonkers. I mean, you saw the last two nights on display. When Love's out, why his usage rate goes up 7%, 7 percentage points, and you saw we saw the fruits of that data. Devin Booker went bonkers in that Houston Phoenix game. I think he had like 44 FanDuel points. Got a lot of just garbage points late, which was infuriating. If you didn't have him in your lineups, you were jumping up and you were doing jumping jacks. If you did have him. Westbrook was phenomenal again, but he still barely hit value. I mean, he's so good. Like the thing is, you look at his line at the end of the night, he's like 40, 45 actual points, like, you know, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. And that's like barely hitting value for him. It's especially on slates like this, eight to 10 game slates, it's hard to play him because, man, he's got to do so much to hit value. Quite honestly, like, I don't even think you needed to play him tonight. You could have played like a John Wall and a Kyrie and probably done just as well, if not better, but still he's also super hard to fade. Cause I mean, he's awesome. But there will be a day if his price gets too high where we will have to fade him. It will be a sad day. We will cry together, but that day may come. Both the Gordons, which I liked a lot, Eric Gordon for Houston. He's just every show I say he's consistent. He's the best kind of consistent because he's consistent with a high floor and a high ceiling. I mean, the problem is his price is starting to rise and it's going to continue to rise because he's playing so well. And then Gordon Hayward again played really well. He outdid Jimmy Butler, and Hayward's a little less expensive. Millsap did fine because without Dwight Howard, Millsap is a lock and load guy. Enes Kanter had one of his nights. We never know when that's going to happen, but he had one of his 30 plus FanDuel points. Brandon Knight, a guy I actually did not play of, and I was nervous he was going to go off, and he put up a 30 FanDuel point night. So that was, in that Phoenix Houston game to get some cheap exposure to that game. He was a way to get that. My boy Harrell I had him as a core four. I had him in every one of my cash game lineups, every one of my tournament lineups, and he came through with 27 FanDuel points. So if you played him at his like 3.8K salary, you were pretty happy. He's perfectly suited for that Houston, the way that they play. I mean, quite honestly, he might be a better fit than Capella, and he absolutely is a better fit than 75-year-old Nene, who can't even run up and down the court. Terrence Jones looks really good for the New Orleans. Keep him on your radar going forward. And Tristan Thompson is like, he's like a bunion on my feet. He's just an annoying, disturbing individual who stares at me at the center position every night. I don't want to. I learned up. He's like the best value play of the night, and he did it again. If I'm going in and out on the podcast, hopefully I'm not. Hopefully you guys can hear me and everything is clear and coherent. If not, that will suck. But we're just going to power through and hope that you guys can hear me and hope that everything sounds okay. Injury news for Thursday. Isaiah Whitehead is questionable. Deion Waiters is out. Or I should say for Thursday. I think I said Thursday. Isaiah Whitehead is questionable. Deion Waiters is out. Wayne Ellington's out again. Rodney Magruder is questionable. Rodney Stuckey is questionable. And Manu Ginobili is out because he's resting. All right. Let's hop into the over-unders. Only five games. Golden State, Brooklyn. It's a 232 over-under. That's a massive number. Golden State is favored by 14 points. You have the best team in the NBA facing possibly the worst team in the NBA. The only good news is it's at Brooklyn. If it's at Golden State, it'd probably be they'd be favored by over 20 points. So on a five-game slate, man, we just can't avoid this game. It's going to be annoying because I hate playing Golden State guys. You basically have Brooklyn is like the worst or second worst at defending every position. So every Golden State player is virtually in play. And there's different ways to attack this game. I mean, one way you can attack and just pretend that it's not going to be a blowout. And I think I'm going to have some lineups where I definitely do that. And other games where you just pretend it's going to be Golden State's going to win by 100, which they could do, and you fade the game. I think those are two strategies, two kind of ways to go about it. It's annoying. Like I'm petitioning FanDuel to get all Golden State games off of FanDuel, off of the slates. I don't want them anywhere. And we should move Durant back to Oklahoma City because it sucks. All right, a team's playing up in pace. Golden State and Brooklyn. I mean, it's the reason why they're both playing up in pace, even though like Brooklyn plays the highest pace in the league, is because you have something called like projected pace. So the game is projected to play at even a faster pace than their original numbers for pace, if that makes sense. All you have to know is target Golden State, Brooklyn players. Unless you think it's going to be a blowout and they're going to win by 100, and then you can ignore that game. But also, Miami's playing way up in pace against the Lakers. Boston's playing up in pace against Indiana. And Orlando is playing up in pace against the Knicks, which is weird because both those teams play pretty slow. All right, defensive versus position. Let's see what stands out to the judge. You guys know Brooklyn, and you attack them literally. They're first, second, or third worst in every position. The Lakers are basically a mini Brooklyn. They're like fifth or worse in every position. So you can attack those guys. The Knicks are horrendous at shooting guard. That's why for me, Evan Fournier is going to be in play a lot on Thursday. The Spurs are a team you don't really attack except for shooting guard. So for the Clippers, that means maybe some JJ Redick, who went nuts in his first game without Blake Griffin. Maybe use some JJ, maybe use some Jamal Crawford, Austin Rivers, who did okay in that first game without Blake. And the Lakers, or not Lakers, Miami. Miami, you can attack at the center position. Now, unfortunately, the Lakers don't have anyone at center, so it doesn't help us out too much. All right, let's move into the top plays at each position, my friends. Chris Paul, 9.2K. So this slate is tricky for a number of reasons, and one of them is because point guard is by far the best position. Like there's six, seven, eight guys I really like here, and we only get two. Now CP3, I don't love this matchup against Sacramento. What are the Clippers favored here? Where is that? Oh, geez, man, that's how you know. Like, I'm getting old too, guys, because I said the Sacramento. I saw the SA. I don't know why. Why would I think Sacramento? I prefer in the first game without Blake. So I think, again, I think on Thursday, I think his floor is right around probably 40 and the ceiling is probably maybe 60. So he's fine for all formats. Steph Curry, 8.7K. I still don't want to roll him out in cash games, even if it's against Brooklyn. You know, it's hard. I mean, if it's going to be a massive blowout, you figure he still gets 30 minutes. Because looking at his game log, his floor for minutes is around 30. So you would think 30 minutes against a horrendous Brooklyn team, he's got to be able to put up, you know, close to 30, 35 FanDuel points as a floor with a ceiling of like 50, 55. So I still for cash games, I'd prefer Chris Paul over him. But he's obviously fine for tournaments, and you do have to, you know, have some lineups where you just think that game is going to stay close, and therefore Steph Curry, and if that game is close, is an elite play in tournaments especially. So you roll him out in some lineups. God, I hate Golden State. I hate talking about them. Isaiah Thomas, 8.4K. I mean, Isaiah's price. It's funny how Isaiah and Steph Curry are basically they're basically very similar in price these days. You know, Isaiah has a much higher usage rate, 35%. He might have the highest usage rate out of anyone playing on Thursday. This Boston Indiana game, I think the over under, even though it's only listed at 211, I think it could end up being around 215, 220 even. So this is a juicy game. I definitely want to have some game stacks here. I like both point guards in this game. I like Jeff Teague and Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah, 8.4K, his price has come up. That's because against Memphis, no one destroys Mike Conley in Memphis. He put up 62 FanDuel points his last game. 38 minutes, 44 actual points. That's insane. The two games before that, 31 and 35. I mean, the usage rate is so high that he's always a good tournament play. You can absolutely destroy Jeff Teague. The issue here is the price. I mean, is he a better play than Chris Paul or Steph Curry? Yeah, I mean, it's especially in cash games, I'd go maybe CP3 1, maybe Isaiah 2, and then Curry 3. It's Curry just with that blowout. It's just, I don't know. But Isaiah still, play him a little bit. I think he's more of a tournament guy for me, because I could see him having a 30, 35 point night, but he could go off, and the usage rate is just phenomenal. Speaking of that same game, Boston, Indiana, you got Jeff Teague at 7.7K. He's been rock solid, 46, 47, 41, 44. It's just, he's really clicking right now. When you watch Indiana, he can do whatever he wants with the ball. I mean, quite honestly, it's his team. It's not Paul George's team. It's Jeff Teague's team. If you watch that team play, maybe the game is close. Last 3-4 minutes of the game, they'll maybe do some Paul George isolation. But otherwise, man, Jeff Teague's the one running the show, and he's a really good play. Again, even though, you know, I don't like attacking Boston guards, you can attack Isaiah Thomas. So Teague's fine for all formats too, for cash and tournament. I mean, I'm going to definitely have some lineups where I stack that Boston-Indiana game and hope the Golden State-Brooklyn game is a blowout, and that could pay dividends. You got Goran Dragic against the Lakers. I mean, this is the problem, guys. I mean, look, already I liked every point guard, and the first six point guards I've named, or five, I like them all. Dragic plays the Lakers, which are a walking disaster of hell. And they give up the fifth most fantasy points to opposing point guards. Deion Waiters is still out. I mean, right now for Miami, it's three guys carry their entire load. It's Dragic, Tyler Johnson, and Whiteside. Dragic did not have a good game last time out, but he still played and went to double overtime. But he played 45 minutes. He didn't shoot well. Only had 19 points. 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 27 points. For him, that's one of his worst games he's played in a while. He's a really safe play in attacking the Lakers. I mean, if you don't want to play Curry to attack Brooklyn, you can just slide down a little bit and attack the Lakers. I mean, quite honestly, Dragic, he might be safer than Teague, Thomas, and Curry. I mean, God, yeah, you could easily have a cash game lineup of CP3 and Dragic as your 2 point guards. I think both of those guys, it's hard to envision those two guys not hitting value. Just, I mean, they're in such good spots. Derek Rose, 6.4K. Yeah, I mean, I don't like this play at all, which for tournaments probably makes him a good play because he's going to go under-owned. And when he does play, he's still producing fairly well. I mean, the last game out, even though he's got these back issues against Indiana, which I told you can attack Jeff Teague, 36 minutes, 24 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 38 Vandal points. So he's a contrarian play in a slow-down tempo game for Thursday that a lot of people, everyone else is going to be like me and saying, look, you got 5 top-notch plays before him. So if you want to have a little contrarian lineup, you could have Derrick Rose. I mean, he can get you a 40, 45 Vandal point night, and again, on Thursday, what you're trying to do in tournaments is you need ways to differentiate your lineups, right? So D Rose is one way to do it. Jeremy Lin, he's the mystery man of the night for me. He's 6 point. I wish he was like Reggie Jackson's salary. I wish he was like 5.5K, but he's 6.4K. Given the fact that he's played 25 minutes last game, that's the most he's played since he's returned from injury. You know, he's just too expensive on a normal slate. But on this slate, you know, maybe he gets 30, 32 minutes on Thursday. Obviously, check the news. If he ends up getting that many minutes against Golden State, and if that game can stay close, Lin could put up a 40, 50 FanDuel point night and lead you to glory. So Lin is going to, like, you know, unless I hear his minutes are going to be capped at 24, something like that, I will be playing Lin in some tournaments, you know, especially when I'm in a couple of lineups where I stack that game, where I'll have like Curry and Lin as my 2 point guards. I think he's the wild card of the night. He really is. He could go off, but it's just it's all about minutes with him. D'Angelo Russell and I think Whitehead, whatever that bumbling guy is, he's going to be out. So maybe they give Lin some extra minutes because of that. I mean, play Jeremy Lin. Play him 35 minutes on what Thursday. Make all of our lives better. I always forget the Brooklyn coach. Is it Atkinson? Or I don't know who that guy is. I mean, there's – yeah, whatever. But if he can give Jeremy Lin – if you guys could all write him a note or just send him a little tweet on Twitter or DM him, be fantastic. D'Angelo Russell is 5.9K. At Miami, I mean, the only thing I like about Russell is his usage rate, which is about 31%. And that puts him always in play for me. Or at least he always makes my initial like cheat sheet of players. Now, he had 31 FanDuel points in that weird game a couple nights ago against Charlotte when it was like 120 to 118 out of nowhere. And Kemba Walker went nuts. And yeah, I think, you know, a bunch of guys went nuts for that team. But the minutes still haven't been there since he's come back from injury. He's only 26 minutes last game. Just because to differentiate myself on this slate, I'll play a little bit of D'Angelo in tournaments, but I don't love that play. Alfred Payton, same thing. Like, I don't like this play at all. I don't like his salary. To me, the salary is too high. Alfred Payton's a guy at Magic Mountain. He's on the roller coaster. You know, if you want to roll him on some tournaments just to differentiate your lineups, you can do it. You can attack Derrick Rose, but I don't think it's a great play on Thursday. Tyler Johnson's 5.7K. This is a great play. He's exceptional right now. I told you, man, it's all him, Dragic, and Whiteside. I mean, God forbid Josh Richardson could do anything, and especially if Magruder's out. I mean, TJ's locked into 35-plus minutes, and it's amazing how many plays down the stretch they run for Tyler Johnson. I mean, Dragic runs like a scared little bird to the corner like Paul George and just stands there, and then Tyler Johnson runs the show. 49 FanDuel points the last game out, 38 minutes, 32 actual points. So he's good. He's athletic. The usage is nice, and he's a guy that I will look to play in. I mean, quite honestly, against the Lakers, you could use him in cash games if you needed to, if you wanted to save and spend up at other spots. And, you know, tournaments, I think he's almost an elite level tournament play these days. Jordan Clarkson's 5.1K. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this. He went nuts. He was one of the guys that went nuts in that Lakers Charlotte game. 31 minutes, 25 actual points. I think he was like made the eight 3-pointers or something absurd. I mean, out of the blue because he was not playing well before that. So I don't really feel like chasing points in this game. If you want to have a stack of Lakers Miami, you can play him. I'm not a big fan of that. Couple cheapies though. Tony Parker and Austin Rivers, both in that San Antonio Lakers game. Look, I think this is a big game for both those teams. Tony Parker, and normally he's been getting 24 to 26 minutes the last four games. So he can give you 24 to 30 FanDuel points. Not great, but not going to kill your lineups. And Austin Rivers, probably similar. Not a ton of upside, and he can kill your lineups. He could give you like a 8 FanDuel point night. But he could also give you like a 30. So, I mean, it probably Parker would be the safer cash game play, and Rivers if you want to throw one of those guys out in a tournament. Shooting guard. Man, I'm always surprised. I mean, on small slates, I talk so much, and the shows last like an hour. All right. Shooting guard, it's ugly. It's disgusting. I hate it. I want to just pretend like we can just go right to small forward. But we can't do that. Because real life is hard. DFS is hard. So we start at shooting guard, and that's Avery Bradley is the top guy on the board in salary. And that's a line I never thought I would say, but I just said it, and I feel ill again. I mean, look, the guy's usage rate is 22%. I mean, Isaiah Thomas jacks up a million shots, and he's still priced like Isaiah Thomas was out. And I don't understand it. Like, why his price should be 6K at most. You know, he's been okay. 27, 26, 23. You know, he's similar to like the guys like Jay Crowder and, you know, not Damari Carroll anymore, but you know, he's going to grind out and get somewhere in between 20 and 30 FanDuel points. But to take down a GPP, you know, it's hard to envision that happening. I do like the pace of this game. It's a small slate and shooting guard stinks. So, you know, does that mean, so I think that those are all cases for rostering him, but you know, not an elite play. Sorry guys. I didn't put on the AC for the bailiff. He just waves me over when he wants some air conditioning. You do have to be careful. If you guys are looking to get a French bulldog, cause you'd seen mine on Twitter, they're very adorable, but they do – the breathing issues are – you got to be very careful with. All right, back shooting guard. Klay Thompson, whatever. It's Golden State guy. Tournament's obviously pretty good. Do you want to play him in cash? I still don't. He's so horrific to roster. Even though he's been – he's fine. You guys know all the Warriors, right? I mean, just have a – like I said – have some lineups where you pretend it's not going to be a blowout, and then Klay becomes a pretty good play, especially against a Brooklyn team that can't defend anyone. So then Klay would be fine. A guy that I am going to probably use a lot of, that's Evan Fournier, and that's because shooting guard sucks, one. And two, New York really struggles to defend shooting guard position, and that's why I don't understand why they keep playing Courtney Lee when Justin Holiday is 1,000 times better. It's just infuriating to me. Justin Holiday is better offensively and defensively. But since that's not the case, Evan Fournier becomes a pretty nice cash game play at 6K. The price has gone up because he's had a couple games in the last four where he's been over 36, 37 FanDuel points. In that last game against Miami, now granted it was double overtime, but he put up, you know, 44 minutes, 26 points, 37 FanDuel points. So I think he's a pretty safe play. He's not sexy, but he's relatively safe. Lou Williams. Lou Williams, he's another guy, man. He's just like a bunion on my foot. He won't go away. He will not die gently into the night. Just continues to come out of nowhere and put up really nice nights. He, against the Hornets, 34 FanDuel points. And even before that, like the minutes are in like in the mid to low 20s, and he gets 24, 30, 22, 20, 37, 44. So on a slate like this, I think he's a I don't want to use him in cash games, but for tournaments, yeah, you can do it. The position sucks. And I think right now the floor for him is 20. I mean, the good one good thing about him is the usage rate. I mean, the usage rate, it's the highest out of every bench player in the league. It's at, right now it is at 31%, which is phenomenal. He actually has the exact same usage rate as D'Angelo Russell, but it's by far the highest out of any bench player. The next highest is Vucevic at 25%. Sean Kilpatrick, the good thing is here, the price has dipped down to 5K. This is an intriguing play for me. Now, I told you once Lynn comes back, he's going to suck. And the last two games, he sucked, 13 and 16 FanDuel points. What I like about this game here is that Whitehead is probably going to be out. So that opens some things up for Kilpatrick. I think they're going to be forced to play him around 24 minutes. The price has dipped down. If he gets hot, makes some shots, you know, maybe he can do something. I think I don't want to play him in cash, but he's a guy, if you're trying to, you know, think about how this game can play out, if it stays close, it's going to be because Lynn plays really well, Lopez plays really well, and someone else for Brooklyn's got to put up some scoring. And because against Golden State, you need to score. And Kilpatrick's one of the only guys who can score. So he's an intriguing tournament guy. Nick Young, look, if you want to play a one-trick pony, you can play Nick Young. He could hit eight threes, or he could be horrible. It's Nick Young. So I wouldn't do it for cash. J.J. Redick, you know, he's been a tough guy this year to roster, but I do think without Blake, he's going to be a nice, steady guy, give us some shots. At this 4.4K salary, I think it's a pretty nice, safe play for cash games, especially in the Spurs game. You can attack them at the shooting guard position. So I don't mind J.J. if you want to roll him out in cash. On the upside, obviously, he's not that great. I did mention at the top of the show, the first game without Blake, 36 FanDuel points. That's probably about his ceiling. That was against Denver. So maybe you still can, by the way, attack Denver shooting guards. I thought our boy Gary Harris was going to stop that, but that did not happen in that game. And if you played Gary Harris that night, that sucked. God, he really let us down, like 8 FanDuel points. But so I think J.J. is a fine cash game play. The next guy up is Josh Richardson. Every time Miami plays and every time another injury happens and every time he's in a no can't lose situation, he still stinks for us. I mean, in a double overtime game, 44 minutes last time out, he still puts up only 21 FanDuel points. I think he shot like 2 for 12 from the floor. He just, man, he's just lost all confidence in his ability to shoot whatsoever. And the amazing thing is last year, he was an excellent three-point shooter. Now, the difference was D. Wade would you know, get so much of the attention, and then he would penetrate or whatever, and Richardson would get wide-open looks. The problem is this year, he doesn't get wide-open looks. He's taking contested threes. You know, obviously, the shots are more difficult, but he just can't make anything right now. With that said, 4.2K against the Lakers, he's still, as long as Magruder's going to be out, and Waiters is going to be out, he is locked into 30-plus minutes. So I think he's still a really good tournament play. It's all about making shots. If he goes 6 for 12 instead of 2 for 12, we're looking at a 35 FanDuel point night instead of a 20 FanDuel point night. So, you know, it's tournaments only at this point, though, because, you know, it's scary. And quite honestly, I take that back. If you want to use him in cash, I know you guys probably don't, but because he's locked into those minutes, you know, I think he's going to – the worst he can do is what he did last game, and that was 20 FanDuel points. Other than that, that's about as low as I'm going to go at shooting guard. If you want to roll out Danny Green just to play him in a $1 lineup, you can do it. I mean, last two games, slowly but surely he's coming back on the radar, 23 points and 21 FanDuel points. At 3.7K, he does have 40 FanDuel point upside, believe it or not. All right, small forward, Kevin Durant. Just depends how you want to approach the Golden State-Brooklyn game. So obviously, if the game stays close, elite level play. If it's a blowout, you know, you could end up paying that salary and being like, he gave me 28 FanDuel points. That sucked because he gave you 28 last game. But, you know, he's fine. It's Kevin Durant. Kawhi Leonard, lock and load right now in my cash game lineups against the Clippers, 8K. He's been really consistent except that one game against the New Orleans where they blew them out. He only got 24 minutes, but here I think he's going to get 35 plus minutes. And when he gets 35 plus minutes, it's basically a lock for 40 FanDuel points. The problem is he basically just gives you 40 Vandal points. He doesn't – I don't know where the 50, 60 Vandal point explosion is. That's what I want to see. So for that reason, he's a cash game lock, but I still think you can fade him in tournaments. So, yeah, Carmelo. Carmelo, you know, he's been better than I anticipated this year. I mean, he has nights like he had a couple nights ago against Indiana where he puts up a 50-burger. He's had a few of those this year, and – you know, he's shown that he has higher upside than Kawhi Leonard. Now, he's nearly not as consistent as Kawhi these days. You know, he's 57 years old. But, you know, he could go off against Orlando. And it's pretty simple with him. When he's making his shot, he's one of the best players in the NBA still. When he's not, he sucks. Paul George. Paul George's price keeps dropping because it's Jeff Teague's team. Quite honestly, it's the Indiana Teagues. The Indiana Teagues. That's right. Last game out, Paul George had a measly 28 Vando points. I mean, if you look at his game logs, it's pretty disgusting. It's because he has 150 in there. He's got 140, and the rest are, you know, 20s and 30s. And so on a small slate like this, he's going to get some Jay Crowder defense. Jay Crowder is a legit top-notch defender. You can play Paul George in tournaments because it is a five game slate, and he'll still probably be relatively low owned because everyone else is going to want to play Durant against Brooklyn. They're going to want to play Kawhi and even Carmelo at this point, or they're probably going to spend down. So, yeah, I mean, it's tournaments only, and you know, go to church or temple and pray. Jay Crowder, 5.5K. Nice, safe cash game play here. I love Jay Crowder for cash games. I see no reason to deviate from that on Thursday in this fast-paced game against Indiana. I mean, he's $2,000 cheaper, 2.4K cheaper than Paul George. So, yeah, I mean, Jay Crowder fits really beautifully into my lineup. Justice Winslow, 4.7K. It's tough when you have a player who can't shoot anyway and then he gets injury to his shooting wrist. So I mean, he's put up over 20 the last three games. He's pretty similar to Josh Richardson. Both of these guys right now just can't make shots. They're getting, you know, all the minutes they can handle, but they can't make shots. Winslow can do other things on the court, and he is really dirt cheap, and he is playing the Lakers. So in theory, you know, Winslow should be in play. I mean, Winslow or Josh Richardson, it's guys like that who are going to help us win a GPP one day. It's just trying to find the right day. And you know, obviously it helps that they're in an ideal matchup here against the Lakers. So you can use a little Winslow. It's you know, he hasn't looked good though, I'll say that. Luol Deng, on the other hand, has looked good. I mean, he's looked super good. So who the hell says super good? He's looked excellent the last couple of weeks, but it's been since the 9th of December. So it's close to 2 weeks. 26, 30, 21, 28, 30, 34. The last, you know, few games, the price has come up a little bit, you know, but he's a safe cash game player. I hear so many shows, everyone just trashing Luol Deng every game. I'm not sure why they're doing that, because he's been rock solid and he's like the one Laker getting over 30, you know, the mid 30s in minutes. So yeah, I mean, he's totally fine for cash games on Thursday again. Bogdanović led a lot of us down. If you looked the last Brooklyn game, and I think I read it on this last show, when Brook Lopez is out, his usage rate, Bogdanović, goes way up. And that did not pan out for us in the last game. He only got 19 minutes against Toronto and 8 Vando points. It was not well. If you actually look at the box score in that last Brooklyn game, basically everyone on the team got equal minutes, equal shots. It was an equal opportunity for all game, which is, for DFS purposes, sucks. And that is one of the fears with Brooklyn every time they play, and it could be again in this Golden State game, which makes it, you know, a juicy game you want to attack because of an over-under. It kind of puts you in no man's land. So Bogdanović, tournament only. If you play him, you hope he gets hot. You hope that Brooklyn plays him because they'll need to score to keep pace, and he makes his shots. And if he's making his shots, he can lead you to glory. Aaron Gordon, just one of the most frustrating players in DFS land. The only good thing I can say is he is getting somewhat consistent minutes in the mid to high 20s lately. Other than that, there's nothing consistent about him. If you play him, he could give you a 15 Fando point night or a 30 Fando point night. And just know that going in, He'll be relatively low owned, but you know, on a small slate, you can play him a little bit. CJ Miles, another guy I'm entirely sick of. He's with Stuckey out. He's getting lots of minutes. He's getting close to 30 minutes some nights, and he just can't make his shots right now. 21, 12, 15, 15. So for me, I might use him in a couple tournaments on Thursday, but that's about it. Ronnie Hollis-Jefferson, I saw a couple people in Chambers roster him last game, and I was like, what are they thinking? Because he's just not getting minutes, and he only got 20 minutes against Toronto, and he put up 35 Fando points in 20 minutes. So he is well-suited for this up-tempo game against Golden State, but Atkinson just doesn't play him a lot of minutes right now, and he's like one of their only kind of young core pieces, so you would think his minutes would start going up. I have no idea what's going on there and why it's not, but if you want to use him in tournaments in that game, you can do it. And that's about all I want to say about small forward. Sorry, Glenn Robinson. I don't want to talk about you right now. Draymond Green, 8.1K. Yeah, if you think the game's going to stay close, or you know, you just love Draymond Green, you can play him. It is Brooklyn. Porzingis, 7.8K. Versus Orlando. I mean, Porzingis, what is his usage rate these days? It's only 23.4%. That sucks. I wish it was higher. Well, that's what happens when you have Derrick Rose and Carmelo Anthony on your team. I mean, surprisingly, Orlando defends power forward pretty well. Serge Ibaka is not a horrible defender, and because the pace is so slow of that game. But Porzingis is still fine. I mean, he's basically matchup proof. There's no one that has the skills that he has. He's a freak. So he's totally fine. And you know, if you don't want to play Draymond because you're scared of a blowout, you can go down and get Porzingis. LaMarcus Aldridge, 6.5K. I have not clicked on this guy's name in a long time. Last two games, he's done well, 39 and 34. And here he gets a matchup against the Clippers without Blake in a game that San Antonio is going to playing hard to win and probably playing their starters decent minutes. 36 minutes last game against Houston. So Aldridge is actually a guy I'm super late at night. May I'm dealing with this cold a little bit still. I'm thinking about him for cash games. 6.5K. He's only priced that low because of he rests a lot of games. He doesn't play a lot of minutes, a lot of games. But this game, he's going to get minutes. No Blake Griffin. Who's going to defend him? Most Spates? Are you kidding me? Paul Pierce? I don't think so. He should be able to feast. This is the first day in like months that I'm excited to play in the LaMarcus Aldridge. Julius Randle. Yeah, I'm not excited to play him. Tournaments only. Serge Ibaka. Same thing with him. I never get excited to play him. But he's one of the guys. He's also like a bunion. Now I have a new category. The guys who are just bunions on my feet. The Tristan Thompsons and Serge Ibaka of the world. They just will never go away. They will never leave me alone. I fade them, and then every day I look up, and then they're in like the winning slam lineup or like the winning lineup of my Chambers, which is even more infuriating. So Ibaka's, you know, he's between like 20 and 40 every game. Small slate. He's fine. I mean, the Knicks, what's their defensive versus position at the power forward? It can't be that good. Huh. How is that possible? The Knicks give up the seventh fewest points at power forward. Is Porzingis a sneaky good defender that I wasn't even aware of? I mean, I know he's got the length of like a 25-foot man, but maybe Porzingis is a better defender than I thought. Huh. Interesting. Even the judge learns things on the pod. Trevor Booker, 5.5K. I mean, this tournament's only, but this Golden State game for him is perfectly suited. He's an up and down guy. He is not going to be intimidated by Draymond Green. He might kick Draymond Green, you know, in the groin himself and in the face and punch him. I'd love to see someone just get nasty with Draymond Green. The guy's such a buster, such a thug, quite honestly. I love me Booker in tournaments. If this game stays close for Brooklyn, I mean, I could see, you know, guys like Lynn and obviously Brooke Lopez, but then it would have to be guys like Kilpatrick and Booker, who can do some things on the court. I mean, Booker can get a rebound and dribble it up the court, initiate some offense. So he's got 40, 45, 50 FanDuel point upside, especially if that game stays close. He also could give you a 10 FanDuel point dud, but I do like the tournament play. Thaddeus Young, he's slowly been coming around, man. He's 34, 28 last two games. The minutes are still like high 30s. Hit the game-winning basket against the Knicks. The price has come up a little bit, but he, like, at this price, he's safe. I think he's safe for cash games. I do hate his usage rate because it's 16%. He's basically in like Otto Porter territory, and that's horrifying to me. But I mean, I think if you want to save it for cash games, he's totally fine, and he's not scoring dependent, so he can do other things on the court. Mo Buckets, if you want a value guy, Blake's first game out, only played 17 minutes, 11 FanDuel points. Doc Rivers has basically said he's going to play people on a matchup basis. Look, most Bates is just not a good defender. I basically said that. I think I said in the last show, he is the Enes Kanter of the Clippers. When he's a fantasy point per minute guy, but he's just really hard to play. Except he's not as offensively skilled as Enes Kanter either. So I don't love the play. If you want to do it, you can. But we've already seen that even without Blake, he still might only get 10 minutes. And what's the ceiling? I mean, I can't envision him getting more than 20, 22 minutes. That's about it for power forward. Center, Whiteside. Yep, against the Lakers, he's a beautiful play. I mean, the question we have here for cash games, there's actually three guys I really like for cash. And I like Whiteside, I like DeAndre Jordan, and I like Miles Turner for cash games. If you have the money, Whiteside is in an elite spot here against the Lakers. The Lakers give up. Where is the Lakers? They give up the third most FanDuel points to opposing centers. Whiteside, the only issue here is the usage rate. I wish it was higher. It's only 23% because sometimes they don't get him the ball. Late in games, Tyler Johnson and Dragic just dribble and, you know, don't pass to him. Which is stupid because he actually does have offensive skills. They should go to him more down the stretch. He's one of the rare centers who you actually can go to late in games. He's not DeAndre Jordan. He's not Andre Drummond. But so he's obviously he's in an elite spot here on Thursday. Al Horford, 8K. I always tell you I never get this guy right. He's the last three games he's been consistent, 38, 42, 48. The problem here is I would just prefer to play Miles Turner over him. You know, you can attack Indiana bigs. Like, that's not an issue. I mean, but they don't go to Al Horford that much. His usage rate's down. Oh, wow, it's actually 23%. It's higher than I thought it would be. He's okay. I don't mind him. You could throw him in a tournament. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up leading someone to take down a GPP. It's just, center is actually one of the positions I do like, and I like other guys better than him on Thursday. Brooke Lopez, in tournaments, I think, you know, the one way Brooklyn stays close is you play Brooke Lopez a lot. You do not go small to match Golden State, and you pound them inside. And you keep going to Brooke Lopez, and you pound that, you know, piece of crap Draymond Green, and you try to, you know, pound Durant. If sometimes they play Durant at the five, even, and I think that's what you do. And therefore, Brooke Lopez is a very, very, very good tournament play. Cash games, it's scary because if Golden State gets out to a 30-2 lead, he's not going to get a lot of minutes. DeAndre Jordan, 7.4K. The first game without Blake, he wasn't great. 34 FanDuel points, but I think that's about his floor. Only got 29 minutes. My only concern with Jordan, I think I've said before, is if the Clippers do go small or if Popovich goes to hack a DeAndre, hack a Jordan, then the minutes could go down a little bit. But otherwise, every rebound is his for the taking without Blake, and he's pretty safe cash game play. And you can roll him on tournaments too right now. Vucevic, 7K. He's a guy who can give you 20 FanDuel points or give you 40. 45, even a 50 burger. So on a slate like this, center is one of the few positions that's actually good. He's going to probably get overlooked, and you can attack the Knicks centers. You can attack Deadman Walking, Joakim Noah, Kyle O'Quinn, or whatever that other guy's name, that foreign guy whose name I can't pronounce. So Vucevic's in a good spot here too. I think for tournaments only, but he's an interesting guy who, if you want to kind of be contrarian, that's an interesting way to go. Miles Turner, yeah, I love this play on Thursday. He's been really good, man, the last two games. 42 and 39 FanDuel points. Actually, the last six, seven games or so, he's had one game, one clunker against Detroit. Other than that, he's got a floor of like 33 FanDuel points and a ceiling of about 43. He's really talented. He's really active. They go to him more than I thought they would. He's all over the court on both ends of the court, both ends of the floor. He's a fun guy to watch, and he can do a lot of different things on the court. And you can attack the Boston bigs, even though Al Horford is a decent defender. So I like the price. Everything's fair. I like the price here. I like the matchup here, and I think his ownership is going to be decent as well, even though he is coming off of a string of a couple good games here. Pau Gasol is a 6.4K. So another guy who I've not really clicked on the submit button in a long time because he stinks this year, partly because he's 70 years old and partly because Popovich, you can't trust him. Last four games, wow, last six games though, the floor has been 26 FanDuel points and the ceiling has been 48. In this Clippers, I'm telling you, if there's a time to use guys like Gasol and Aldridge, it's in this San Antonio Clippers game. Gasol, he's still supremely talented on the offensive end. We're getting him and LaMarcus at discounts. The issue here is I prefer Aldridge because center, we only get to play one center where we can play two power forwards. And the opportunity cost at center just worries me. Like if we play Pau Gasol and then we lose out and Whiteside gets a 50-burger or a 60-burger or Jordan goes nuts or Miles Turner goes nuts, I mean, is Pau Gasol, is he going to do enough for us? To help us win a GBP, especially if you only get 24 minutes. Because even, I'm looking at his game logs, even in the games where, he has one game of like 35 FanDuel points, but I'm pretty sure that was when Aldridge was out. So because he's not good on the defensive end, I could still see him only getting 24 minutes on Thursday. But yeah, on this slate, I'll probably have one or two lineups where I use Gasol. I will not go crazy. Other than that, if you want to save, you can go Bismack. He's another Bunyan. He's basically a poor man's Tristan Thompson. He's going to grind out 20 FanDuel points. So yeah, if you want to go that way, you can. If you want to play one of the Knicks guys, Hernan Gomez, Noah, or O'Quinn, just to be contrarian, you can do it. I do not see myself going that route. I think one of them had a – which one? Noah had a 30 FanDuel point night, and he played 30 minutes against Indiana last game out. That was shocking. So you can attack Orlando – you can attack Orlando's bigs. You can especially attack Vucevic. So, if you want to have one lineup of a Joakim Noah, that's – you can do it. But, it's risky. Like I said, center's a pretty good position. To miss out on a Whiteside, Lopez, DeAndre Jordan, or Miles Turner – those are the main guys that I want to be rolling with on Thursday. All right. That is it. That is the show. Hopefully there were not too many technical difficulties because I kept getting something on my screen that said there was some issues with my connectivity, whatever the heck that means. Other than that, hope you were like me and made some good money on Wednesday. If you want to get in on Chambers. Oh, one thing I think about Chambers. So if you want to get in, you can definitely feel free to DM me and tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. The problem is I'm getting like close to 100, 150 DMs a day sometimes for Chambers. And I have, there's the demand is pretty absurd for people wanting to get in there. So, I can't always, even though if you do DM me, I can't always DM you the link. I try my best, but some days I just can't do it. There's just the demand's too high because I'd be, if there's only, think about it. If we have three Chambers, that's 60 spots. I'm like, and if I get 150 or 100 DM requests, that means 40 of you are out of luck. Not to mention all the other people who just are waiting for me to tweet it out publicly. So You know, I may just, you know, again, try to tweet it out. I normally try to tweet the links out around 5 p.m. Eastern. I'll try to get better at that, letting you know when I'm going to tweet out the links for chambers. But you can still DM me, and if I have a chance, I'll try to shoot you the link that way too. Just, you know, try to be somewhat respectful on Twitter. If I don't get back, it's not because I don't love you. I love all of you. It's because I'm just getting inundated with messages, with questions, and DMs. Also, if you guys could not send me full lineups to review, I would appreciate that as well, especially close to lineup lock. It's I'm getting so many questions last minute, and I'm doing my own lineups, so it's hard to review full lineups. Like, all, you know, that's a little much, but obviously keep the questions coming. No qualms with that at all. All right. Other than that, let's dominate some more on Thursday. Otherwise, I will see you back for a fantastic Friday night slate. And yeah, Christmas is almost here. Happy holidays. I'm pounding my gavel. Court is adjourned.